Hey, everybody, I have a real treat for you right now. We get a chance to visit with the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen. PA, good to have you on.
What's going on? Happy Tuesday morning and an early Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Of course, Black Monday and not many surprises. Did this one surprise you at all, Leslie Frazier being fired as a Viking coach?
No, part of it surprised me simply because of the fact that he had just been here 3 years. I mean, granted, during the 3 years and change, we went 3-13, then 5-10-1 2 years later. So when you do stuff like that, that potentially could lead to a firing. But, you know, quite frequently around the NFL and around pro sports, the owners and general managers just don't give they don't give things a chance to mature. And they don't give people a chance to really implement things that sometimes take between 3 and 5 years. So I'm not flabbergasted that it happened. I'm not overwhelmingly surprised. But if it had gone the other way, that wouldn't have shocked me either.
I thought it was great that he went out a winner. I was at that last game, sitting next to some guys and sharing some headsets, listening to you call the game. And I have to tell you, it was nice to see him win. What was Leslie Frazier's biggest strength as a coach that we're going to miss?
That's an excellent question. I think his calm demeanor and the fact that despite some very difficult losses this year, Leslie was able to keep everybody even keeled. Now, you know, conversely, last year at the end of the season when we went 4-1 in December and rattled off a bunch of wins at the end of the year and got to the playoffs, you know, he got that thing to a concert pitch at the right time of the year that if we had had requisite quarterback play in the playoff game at Green Bay, you know, we with the way Adrian was running, we potentially could have done some damage in the postseason. So, you know, quite frequently teams will imitate or take on the personality of their coach. And, you know, Leslie is just a very mild-mannered, even-keeled, squared-away kind of guy. And a lot of players on the team kind of mimicked who he was.
There were two consistent criticisms that fans always had about Leslie Frazier that I hung out with. One was the fact that he was so late in seeing that Christian Ponder is not a starting NFL quarterback. The other being that he wasn't emotional on the sideline, that he didn't come out as the rah-rah guy, that they watch some of the more successful coaches in the NFL, you know, the Harbaughs, and, you know, they see them, you know, getting into the game a little bit more. Evaluate those two things. Are they accurate, or are they just something that fans can say from a bar stool?
No, I think both criticisms or both takes have merit, you know, but we also are in a society where personally or professionally, quite frequently, people are insatiable and they want things more quickly now than maybe in the past, where if they're not getting something immediately, they think they can snap their fingers and get it overnight. In other words, if we had a very animated coach, you know, kind of a Rex Ryan type from the New York Giants or Greg Schiano, who was fired by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, those are very animated kind of guys full of histrionics, but they didn't win. You know, and in those markets, those people are pining for somebody more even keeled. So I really don't think the personality type on the sidelines of an individual matters as much as the bottom line. It doesn't matter, in my estimation, how you get to the winner's circle as long as you get there. Now, from a Christian Ponder standpoint, you know, I never was offended with the amount of reps they were giving Ponder because of the significance of the investment. You know, in 2011, when you take that kid 12th overall, and then at the end of the year last year, he has 5 touchdowns and 1 interception despite a spotty season, and he has a big hand in you getting to the playoffs, then the Christian has earned the right to show you what he does well or what he does not do well over a big patch of games. So, you know, it's evident to me at the end of the run now that they wanted to completely analyze what Christian does well and what he does poorly. And, you know, he was not the best quarterback on the roster this year. It was Matt Cassel. But, you know, if you look at the way Cassel performed at Cincinnati or against the Carolina Panthers, and to a certain extent against the Lions in the final game of the season, you know, with all due respect to Matt, it's not like Matt is head and shoulders better than anybody. You know, he gives you a better chance to win incrementally, But it's not like when we separate the quarterbacks on this roster between Castle, Ponder, and Josh Freeman. You know, it's not like we're separating thoroughbreds who have the potential to win the Kentucky Derby. So, like General Manager Rick Spielman said at his press conference yesterday, we need to get the quarterback spot fixed on this team, and this offseason it has to be done.
Well, and it isn't as though Viking fans were used to the greatest coach the Vikings ever had, or at least the most beloved coach they ever had, wasn't exactly the most emotional coach on the sideline.
Correct. But he also had a way of getting his message through to those who didn't necessarily buy into it. And, you know, quite honestly, I felt Brad Childress did too. I mean, you know, Brad, I did a lot of work with Brad. We had a very good working relationship. And even though Brad wasn't the most engaging human being, and he didn't share information with the media the way they wanted it shared, with Brad, we still won the division two times, and we almost went to the Super Bowl, and we almost went to the playoffs at the end of the 2007 season, his second season as coach. But, you know, again, it just wasn't good enough at the end of the run, and he wasn't able to hold on to his job. Same thing with Leslie Frazier. You know, I think that the quarterback position in the NFL is paramount to success, and I understand that. But if you look back at our 16 games this year, the number one reason we finished 5-10-1 had to do with defensive meltdowns at the ends of five games, where at Chicago, at Dallas, at Baltimore, at Lambeau Field, where we blew a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter and had to settle for a tie, and at home against Cleveland, those were the biggest reasons we did not make the playoffs this year, not the quarterback spot.
Yeah. And the other and Paul Allen is our guest here on the News and Views Radio Network. PA, how bare is this cupboard? I mean, how I look at everybody points to the quarterback position. I look at the middle linebacker and the defensive corner positions, and I say that's where we're completely bare. I mean, how tough are things for whatever coach fills that slot next year?
No, we're not completely bare. Not when you have Adrian Peterson, Greg Jennings. What Cordero Patterson did in the second half of the season has everybody in the NFL wide-eyed. I mean, he, at the midway point of the season, he was completely out of the Rookie of the Year race, and he ran himself into it. And the fact that you have a guy in Cordarrelle Patterson who's bigger and more sturdy than Percy Harvin, and he does the same stuff that Percy Harvin used to do, you know, that for any coach who wants to take this team, they look at the offensive assets that you do have. And offensively, you know, we moved the ball up and down the field pretty well this year, and we scored 25 points a game, and we had a bunch of plays at 20 yards or more. But we need a quarterback, and all the good teams have good quarterbacks. Defensively, I hear what you're saying with the linebackers, but I truly believe if you had the right kind of defensive tackle in front of them, then you would get better productivity out of even guys like Audie Cole, a seventh round pick from North Carolina State a couple of years ago. You know, I think it's very important to get the cliched fat guy in the middle to keep those bodies off the linebackers so they can do what they do. But from a defensive back standpoint, Xavier Rhodes is going to be a star. Now, he got hurt at the end of the year, but from the midway point on, Xavier Rhodes locked up guys like Jordy Nelson and Brandon Marshall and did an extremely good job. Behind him is Harrison Smith, who I think is emerging into one of the better safeties in the NFL. So that's basically two-fifths when you play nickel or half of your secondary when you play your 4-3 base. In free agency this year, there are going to be some very, very good cornerbacks available. And I would like to see us with, assumedly, I believe we have a lot of cap money this year in the offseason, specifically given I don't think we're going to bring back some players who made a lot of money last year. I'd like to see them get a corner from another team and kind of solidify that spot.
Well, and that does bring up the question, one of everyone's favorite Minnesota Vikings, is Jared Allen wearing purple next year?
That's a fair question. And he, you know, he made $17.5 million last year, and he finished the equation with 11.5 sacks. That's pretty good from the right defensive end spot. But I think it comes down to what Jared wants to make. And I think the team, it would be willing to have Jared back, but only at the right price. and to take some heat off those guys in the secondary, you know, you got to have a better, more consistent pass rush than we had this year. The defensive ends with Brian Robinson with 9 sacks, Jared had 11.5. Sharif Floyd, the first-round pick from last year, he finished with 2.5 sacks. That's not enough. Everson Griffin didn't have the season I think the team felt he was going to have. you need to get a better push from the defensive line. And if they think Jared's part of it, that'd be great. But if not, then they'll probably have to draft a defensive end.
So last one for you. Who's on the short list? Who are you hearing in the hallways at Eden Prairie and with the connections that you have that the Vikings are saying, you know what, if we could get him, we'd sign him right now to be head coach of this team?
There's nobody yet. I don't have any information on that yet. There's going to be quite the expansive search. I do not believe this is a job that will be filled, like, say, by the end of the weekend. I think this is going to take a week and a half, maybe up to 2 weeks. And it's going to be an extensive, exhaustive search to find the right guy. And you know, I know from being out there yesterday, as long as I was, the general manager already has a significant list of people he'll be interviewing. And off that list, you know, I hope they find somebody who is super organized, is not afraid to get things squared away with everybody on the team so that everybody's on that same proverbial page. And they also fix the defense. You know, I'll say it for a second time. The quarterback situation here does need to be fixed, but we almost gave up the most points in the history of Minnesota Vikings football. And that goes beyond just a few spots on the defense. It stretches into the type of defense you were playing at certain stages of the game, like at the ends of the Bears game at Soldier Field, the Cleveland game at Mall of America Field. And they just need to get a guy who is a true bona fide leader, and I'm pretty sure they will.
Paul Allen, you can hear his show on our brother station, 740 The Fan at KVOX, and, of course, right here on the Vikings Radio Network. Paul, always good to talk to you. Thanks for the time.
All right, my man. Happy New Year.
You bet. Happy New Year to you.